elementary principles. We're going to look at five Bible verses today. There's actually only seven verses in the Bible that use this particular word that is translated in our English translations as elementary or elements. The word itself in Greek means like a line of things, so perfect order. It was originally applied, for example, if you had a file of soldiers and they're all at attention and they're all in perfect order and they're all in, maybe they're lined up by height or whatever. But at any rate, the word, you know how language operates, words come to mean more than they would otherwise. And so this word began, basically, if I was talking English to you, and I said, it's the ABCs of things. Okay? Cristiano messed it up. We'll blame him. Anyway, so it eventually came to mean the elementary things, the main things is what we're talking about today. So, when we go to our first verse, Galatians 4:3, it says, while we were yet children, and I enjoyed the children's story because it was all about children. And of course, it's the season to think about children because this is a time of the year when the Christian religion celebrates the birth of Christ, even though we all know that it wasn't exactly the right timing. But while we were children, we were held in bondage under the elements of the world, King James says, or the elemental things of the world, NASB says. So that word is used, and it's talking about, I want to stand on that side, but I realize I'm blocking the screen. So, because you're all over there, but I can look over here, and once in a while I can look over here. Anyway, so children are in absolute bondage. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, there you have them. They're in totally dependent on the parents. And if they don't do what they're told, there's always some natural consequences. I suppose that varies from parent to parent, family to family. Well, I know it varies. But we all understand what it is to be in bondage to the elementary things. The children don't know any better. When they're that little, they think every family is like them. Whatever experience they're going through, if they're having a wonderful experience, they think all of their little compatriots are going through the same experience. And it's not the same. For every child, it's different. I want to take you to Acts 28, verse 4. This is a story you remember when Paul was in a shipwreck. Bad enough, the ship went down and it crashed. And then he survives, everybody survives, and he goes out. And a viper attacks him and is hanging onto his hand. And everybody there has grown up with the elementary principles in their minds of how things operate. And the way that people thought in that day, and I would posit that that's the way most people think today. If something bad happens to you, we have a word for that. That has come in from the Eastern religions, and Christianity has accepted that word and has built it into their understanding of how things operate in this world. It's called karma. So they say, this guy must be really bad. There he is. He's definitely going to die. They recognize that viper, and there was no salvation from the bite of this particular snake. And he shook him off into the fire. And then he's okay. And so they said, they began saying to one another, undoubtedly this man is a murderer. And although he's been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. So he's doomed to die. However, he shook the creature off into the fire and he suffered no harm. And then the Bible says that, they were expecting him to follow the usual route, but now they changed their minds and began to say he was a god. So you see, the circumstances we're in life, they seem to be, in the eyes of man, determinative of your fitness, your spirituality, and so forth. Let's pause for just a moment. Let me pray. Father in heaven, this morning, Lord, as we begin to understand the bondage that we are held under by nature and by culture, by circumstances, by our understanding as we grow up, oh Lord, help us to understand what you would have us know today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I preached this same sermon last week at Estes. So I didn't have much time yesterday to prepare the sermon, and I thought, well, I'll just do the same sermon. However, my very best critic that I depend on told me I didn't do a very good job last week either. And that's my wife. She's the one person I can guarantee is going to be honest with me when I get through preaching. You know, you stand at the door and you shake hands with people and people say, oh, marvelous sermon or wonderful sermon or good her sermon or whatever. And, you know, that's nice to hear. But what I hear from Lorraine is the one that really counts to me. She said, I preached the sermon last week and I went on and on. And by the time it was over, she wasn't sure what point I was trying to make. So I will try to improve on that this week, and I hope that the third time around, you guys will understand what I'm trying to say. So here we have the way people tend to think about things. And the reason for that is that as children, we are taught that our works determine whether we get punishment or reward. When you think about it, how many of you children, no, I don't want to ask it that way. How many of you adults, as children, were ever spanked? Yeah, me too. I think I was spanked before that, but the one I remember is when I was finally went to school, and I think I was in first grade, and I got spanked at the school. In those days, schools had a little more control over their students. I was so furious that an adult would dare to lay hands on me. It wasn't my parents, and my parents had probably spanked me before then because I wasn't the perfect child. But what I knew was that this teacher had no right to do that, and I thought, you wait till I get home. I'm going to tell my mom. And I did. You know what happened? I got spanked again. And then my mom told me, you wait till your dad gets home. So after that, I got spanked at school occasionally. But I never told my parents. I had learned something. I had learned that there was consequences to my works. Okay, I got spanked at school. I understood now why I did. But I also understood that if I went home and told mom about it, I wouldn't get any sympathy there. I was supposed to behave and do what the teacher said. That's what I had been told that first time, and the lesson stuck. So after that, when I didn't behave and do what the teacher said, I didn't tell mom. One spanking was enough. We learn this, and then we learn when we're good, we get rewarded. And then that's the natural order of things. Okay, well, apparently, Paul doesn't want us to be under that kind of bondage, where we're held to that idea. Wait a minute. Doesn't God operate that way? Yes, no. Well, if you look at the Old Testament, for example, there's all kinds of rules and regulations, and it's laid out there. Do this, and you will live. Do this, and you will prosper. And I will bless you. Do this, and the curses will come. Right? The children of Israel eventually ended up going into an actual, true bondage in Babylon. Why? Because they didn't do what they should have done. Well, it's no wonder then that people get the idea that this kind of gathering is in part For some, what you do on Sabbath is you go to church, you pay your tithes and your offerings, and you go to church. Then you go to church again on a Wednesday night for prayer meeting, and you do, and you do, and you do. Have an inside track as a result of what you do. And that is salvation by works. And every religion in the world operates on the same principles. Is it still not working? Is it too loud? No, we're going to change units. Yeah, that's the other thing. That's the other thing. When you get an injury, I only lost 18 pounds during that time. So my shirt collars don't fit properly, and I've got plenty of room now in my waistband. These pants used to be kind of tight. A natural consequence, right? That's the way things work. You fall off of a ladder, well, in my case, a workstation, and you injure yourself. And it was my fault. It was self-inflicted injury because I had already slipped 2 times, but I caught myself, and I thought, well, I'm okay. And then when I slipped the 3rd time, I didn't catch myself, and I ran into a brace and fractured a couple of ribs, and here I am, lighter in weight and recovering, which if I do the right things, I'll continue to recover. But I was out there the last snow that we had in Loveland. I was out there cleaning the snow, and I slipped, and I almost went down on the same side. Well, that's all I need. So I was more careful after that. Because you see, what we do affects the results that we get in this world in almost every aspect of life. And we get used to that idea. And we think, what's important is my works. My works. How important are my works? Let's go back to our sermon. So that's the first verse I have. Galatians 4:9 talks using the same word. It says, but now, after you have known God, how do you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You see, the human heart actually desires a religion where if you follow step A, B, and C, there is a natural result that follows. And when things don't follow the way you think they should, the human heart wants to understand why. So you have all kind of Eastern religions, the ones that came up with the idea of karma. And you probably all have seen YouTube videos or something where you have instant karma. You know, you have the guy that's passing people on the wrong side. And he'll even use the shoulder to pass people because he's important. He's in a rush. And you're behind him and there's somebody, he's on a camera. He doesn't realize that somebody's got a dash cam. And he pulls over to go around. And in this particular part of the road, what's on the shoulder is not just the shoulder that he's been using to pass people on the wrong side, but there's a guardrail. And he runs into that guardrail, and his car is lifted up and goes halfway down the guardrail and stops. Karma. Or you've all had this experience. Watch this guy that drives like an idiot. We all know who drives like an idiot, right? The other guy. But anyway, he drives like an idiot. You go around a corner, and there's a cop. And it pulls him over. We a little bit happy? He got what he deserved. He passed on the solid line. He endangered me. He endangered other people. And now there he is, and he's going to get a ticket. Good. Yeah. And here's the whole point of what you get from the sermon today. That the way things operate in a fallen world, Why is it that your children have to be in bondage? I'll tell you why. Because they're fallen creatures, just like you. When they're born with a fallen nature. Oh, they're so cute. I love those pictures. They are so cute. They're little barbarians. They have to be civilized. They have to be taught. They have to be taught that they have to be. They don't want it. They have to be taught not to pull the dog's tail. They have to be everything. They have to be taught not to sling food all over. When they're sitting there, they're supposed to put it in their mouth. They have to be taught everything. In a fallen world, and we have consequences if they don't do what they're taught. It's because we want them to succeed. We want to be able to take them to a restaurant and sit them down and enjoy a meal together. We want everybody to look at, oh, what a wonderful family. Look at what wonderful children they have. How well behaved they are. You've all gone to a restaurant where somebody was in there with kids that weren't well behaved, right? Yeah, it's a whole different experience. What evil uses in a fallen world. There are natural. You know you shouldn't smoke, right? But what happens if you do? You smoke every day, puff, 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 puff. What you're destroying is the cilia in your lungs. There are these little tiny things. I don't know if I've ever seen a picture of them. But anyway, there's little tiny things that get destroyed. So, here's the whole point of the sermon today. Let me go back and go to the end of the sermon where I have the whole point. That's how things operate in real time in a real fallen world. There are consequences to everything you do. If you don't brush your teeth regularly, there's consequences. You get to sit in a dentist chair and have them clean them properly for you. Or you lose a tooth, or you have a root canal, or something. Consequences. And the dentist tells you, you ought to chew this gum every time after you eat, or whatever. That there's things that you should do and things you shouldn't do. But here's the thing. In the spiritual realm, what God is doing is trying to restore us to His image. What we were created in to begin with. And in the spiritual realm, karma doesn't operate. So if you're a Buddhist or a Hindu, you come up with these ideas of reincarnation because you don't know anything about Jesus Christ and you don't know anything about God's way of dealing with fallen mankind. But you still have bad things that you see happen to you and happen to people that, why did that happen to that person? Well, what we come up with is in a former life, they must have been really bad and now they're paying. They're getting their just desserts. They're getting what they deserve for the way they were. And then when someone dies of an accident and he goes early, you think, well, this person has another chance. He'll be born again. He'll be reincarnated. And if he does, if his works are better in his next life, he'll progress. And if you progress in each life, however many lives that takes you in this wheel of life that everybody's on, then eventually you reach a state called nirvana. There, all you do is good things. And everything is wonderful and you're at perfect peace. And that's heaven, basically, in the false religions. God doesn't operate that way. God does not give us what we deserve. The very definition of mercy is God doesn't give us what we deserve. We all deserve to pay the price because we've broken every law there is, if not in reality in our minds. We are fallen creatures. We have a fallen nature. Instead, God gives us His grace. God gives us what we don't deserve. That's just the opposite of karma. So we are tied to karma in this world. Go out on the highway and speed, and sooner or later, karma will get you. Well, what about God? What about you break one of God's laws? Will karma get you sooner or later? No. What happens there is that if you have trust in God and you have faith in Him and you ask Him to give you the strength of will to allow Him to work in your life and you cooperate with Him, grace includes not only forgiveness, but also the capacity to change my heart, your heart. And when our hearts change and our minds change, you guys all studied the Sabbath school lesson for today, right? You have the mind of Christ. Then your will changes and it becomes easier and easier for you to operate in your life the way Jesus operated in His. Have you ever thought about this? Jesus did not just come to die for us. He did not just come to die for us. If He had come just to die for us, He could have lived to be 7 or 8 years old. He could have died then. Would it have been just as effective? Would it have been a sacrifice? Number one, it's by the shedding of blood. So it had to be an execution. Number two, He came to live for us. So He lived to be an adult. And He's our perfect example. So if you want to know where you fall short, where you need some help, where you need to ask God to help you to transform your mind, and if you cooperate with Him, He's willing to do that. That's part of grace. Grace isn't just forgiveness. Grace is empowerment. Empowerment to become more like Him. So, there's the sermon for today. Accept God's mercy. You're still alive today. There's still hope. Today is the day of salvation. And if you accept God's grace, you're forgiven. You're saved. But there's still consequences. You are saved, but you are given the power to become more like Jesus. And if we don't take advantage of that power that is offered to us, then what you're doing is placing yourself outside of God's mercy, because there is a time when a merciful God will become the judge. And every human being has that opportunity. And God, through His Holy Spirit, operates and reaches out to every human being. And our response to the Spirit's leading is what will decide our destiny. Thank you.